Welcome to Steppin' Out, the 12-step meeting on the air. Tonight you'll meet real people with true stories of addiction and recovery. And now, Steppin' Out.
Hello and welcome to America's 12-Step Radio Show. My name is Drew and this is Steppin' Out. The stories you are about to hear are real. This is a 12-step meeting on the air, so kick back, grab a cup of coffee and listen in. If you ever wondered what went on inside of those meetings, you're going to find out tonight. We're doing something rather different. It's a pleasure to have these folks with us because this is our first time on the show. And we are exploring the notion of food as a drug. And we've had overeaters in here, but it's a very, very different notion when you start approaching food as a drug because, well, you got to eat, right? You got to eat. I mean, I got a room full of people here. We got to eat. You know, how do you do this thing when you've got this thing that's here to sustain you on a daily basis and you can't manage it? And I just want to, you know, real quick, welcome Claire to the show. Claire, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you.
Good. Claire, tell us a little bit about maybe some of the differences between Overeaters Anonymous and FA, food addicts, if you would. And tell us a little bit about your story and how you came to find recovery.
Okay. I would say that one of the main philosophical differences between Overeaters Anonymous and Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous is that we in FA, we really view food as a drug, that we're using the substance of food, and it affected us physically like a drug would affect a drug addict.
Can you describe that a little bit more? Like,
yeah, I can tell you in my own experience, I could tell you that there were times that I knew that I might be nervous, and if I ate certain foods, it would calm me down.
Like what? What kind of foods?
Anything kind of floury would kind of calm me down.
Carbs?
Anything, yeah, carbs, and especially if they were warm and gooey or something.
Okay.
And I used other foods to really rev me up. I remember eating, you know, in the summer, going to a place where I'd get a cold, creamy cone of something, and that I would feel powerful afterwards. I would actually feel, you know, a surge of energy from it, and I liked that feeling, so I would do it again.
So you remember the sugar rushes?
I really remember sugar rushes. I also, yeah. For me, I could feel sugar withdrawals, and I could feel pretty much daily towards the end of my time that I was eating that there were certain periods of the day that my hands would shake.
Wow.
Because if I ate something sweet, it would stop. I would have headaches if I didn't eat. I'm sure if I had gone to a doctor, they would have diagnosed me with either pre-diabetic conditions or hypoglycemia because I react very sensitively to food.
Well, let me back you up to when you're a little girl. When did you first notice that you didn't have a normal relationship with food?
I have a very early memory of stealing candy from a candy dish at a friend's house.
Okay.
And I didn't steal other things. It wasn't like I had a stealing problem. I had I needed to eat sugar. And I always knew they had this covered dish. And sometimes they would offer me something and sometimes they wouldn't. And if they didn't offer me something, I'd wait till everyone was out of the room and then I'd look. And if something was there, I would steal candy. And I was quite young, maybe 6 or 7 years old. You know, I also remember not really caring too much for what we ate at meals, but dessert. You know, I still remember desserts that my mother made and just needing to eat sweets.
It was a little bit more than just a craving. This isn't a sweet tooth. I mean, this is, you know, when you're stealing candy at that point, did your folks notice that there was anything not right here? You know,
not so much because I come from a family of food addicts. So,
you know,
and it's a progressive disease. I think as a child, you probably wouldn't notice that I was much different from other children unless you really
looked. Do you think that was learned behavior, though? I mean,
I don't. I think I certainly didn't learn to steal. I didn't see anybody else stealing food.
But you said your folks were food addicts, though.
Yeah, but they didn't steal food. That behavior wasn't modeled to me.
Okay.
You know, maybe, I don't really know, maybe if I was brought up on, by people that weren't overeating, maybe I wouldn't have. But in my gut, I feel like I was born with the propensity for being a food addict.
Okay.
I think I'm just very sensitive. I'm sensitive to many other substances as well.
Okay.
And food worked for me. It did what I wanted it to do, so I used it.
And as a child, every kid eats candy. Every kid wants sweets. I mean, it's just part of the culture. I mean, how hard was it, you know, like, I guess in retrospect, looking back, knowing you were an addict now, How hard was it for you back then to just kind of assimilate with other kids?
Yeah, it wasn't difficult. It is a progressive disease, and I wasn't born a full-blown addict, you know.
Okay.
But I could, now that I can look back, I can see how it progressed. And it was more like when I was in graduate school and I was already married, and I was, you know, 30, 31 years old, and going to vending machines and couldn't decide what candy or what combination of salty and sweet things to get. And I would look around and the other graduate students weren't doing that. So you could say a kid, it's normal. Like, the, you know, most kids like sweets. But at that age, it was like I had to have that stuff that was in the vending machine. And but then starting to feel self-conscious, realizing the other graduate students aren't doing this, you know, except if they were also addicts. But and then having to get the stuff and then feeling embarrassed about eating it and finding places to eat where I could be a little inconspicuous. It was like going to my car by myself and eating. That's, you know, it was more as I got older that I started to really notice that it was
so
a problem.
You were sneaking your food and you were hiding it from other people.
Yeah.
any problems with any other type of eating disorders or?
Yeah, I had my particular history. I had times of really overeating and just binging and eating. I became vegetarian for 7 years, and I think I substituted sugar for meat, and it was very easy to avoid meat because it was sugar that I wanted. And, but then I had several periods where it would just stop and I basically wouldn't eat and I would get very underweight. And, you know, if somebody was really noticing, they would think I was anorexic or, you know, tending towards that. So for me, it could go either way. Either I was binging or I was starving. I had only very rare periods where I would eat moderately for any long period of time.
Okay.
You know, and I didn't tend to be, you know, gravitate towards a healthy way of eating. I, you know, I wanted sweets and I wanted caffeine and I also was a smoker.
Mm.
And, you know, that was what I craved and that's what I sought out. You know?
You said your folks were food addicts. Did they ever seek recovery?
No.
What would cause you to think that they were food addicts? What were the things that you saw in the household that led you to believe that they had a similar illness?
Well, a lot of our family life was centered around food. My mother has battled with weight all her life since she was a child. She's now, you know, overweight. And has, for all the time I've known her, she's been overweight. And then she would diet down to almost a normal weight, and then it would just go back up again. My father was more, he was diabetic and actually died of complications from diabetes.
Oof.
And he also liked sweets.
He also liked sweets.
And so I feel like the physical part, I feel like I really inherited, you know, and I know it's a physical, mental, and spiritual disease.
Sure.
And you know, maybe if I had had more spiritual and mental support, it might not have been a full-blown addiction, but I certainly feel like I have it.
You definitely feel like you have it.
Yes.
Do you, to this day, do you still crave?
I don't crave food at all.
Well, we're going to get into the recovery a little bit later, but when you were in college and you were going through this stuff and you were sneaking the food and all that, what can you describe that sensation? Like when you go into the vending machine, what that was like for you?
I had to have it. You know, my whole body was tight and tense and I had to have it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was just, there was no talking yourself out of it.
Exactly.
It was like
an
addict.
It was a compulsion. Yeah.
Like an addict.
It was like an addict. Yes, it was an addict.
I mean, we have alcoholics, we have addicts, we have, you know, gamblers. It's very difficult for, you know, the audience at large to understand that. So I'm trying to pull that out of you a little bit. Like, what does that feel like to be addicted to food, you know?
It was on my mind all the time. It was distracting. I would have candy in my pockets while I was at school.
Wow.
I would try to study and I would have food all over, you know, my desk or whatever in my pockets and just, you know, things like that I did that I wouldn't do for other things. Like, I used to, for a while, had horses.
Right.
And I put food in my pocket, my dirty barn coat pocket. And sometimes in New Hampshire, it was too cold to take off my gloves, so I'd be eating this food with these dirty barn gloves. And, you know,
yuck.
I wouldn't do that for anything else.
Hey, if you want to connect with us here at the show, we would love to hear from you. You can visit us online 24 hours a day at www.steppingoutradio.com. There you can sign up for our free newsletter and also send us an email because we want your feedback. Let us know how we're doing. We've been getting some very, very good feedback of late, and we do appreciate it. Tonight we're dealing with a very, very interesting and unique situation. The notion of being addicted to food. I mean, everybody's got to eat, but I'm going to throw some of these questions out to you. Are you a food addict? Do you think about food or your weight constantly? Do you eat when you're not hungry? Have you ever discarded food only to retrieve and eat it later? Do you eat in secret? Have you ever stolen other people's food? This one I like. Do you obsessively calculate the calories you've burned against the calories you've eaten? And on the bottom it says, if you answered yes to any, not a couple, any of the above questions, then you may be a food addict. You're not alone. FA offers hope through a real solution to food addiction. And I just want to put the website out there for Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous. It's www.foodaddicts.com. And the phone number, if you'd like to connect with them, is 781-321-9118. And in case you just spoke, you're just joining us, we were speaking with Claire. And Claire, I hate to say it, but I mean, we're asking you already. You've already pretty much answered yes to most of these questions in the first half of the show. So, I mean, how about this one though? I think this one's kind of interesting. Do you obsessively calculate the calories you burned against the calories you've eaten? Would you care to share with us about that?
Yeah, I can say today that I definitely don't do that. I don't think of them at all,
okay.
Which is such a freedom because I come from a place where I would memorize calorie content. And as I was eating things, I would be counting the calories. I was like a human calorie calculator. And I remember experiences like walking along the beach. It's beautiful, you know, but I don't remember actually looking out at the scenery. Mm-hmm. I was walking thinking, well, if I walk all the way down to those rocks and back, I'll probably burn, you know, 150 calories. That's what would be on my mind rather than, you know, I'm walking with somebody and we might have a conversation or I could look out at the ocean. I was thinking about myself. I mean, it made my world very small.
Stay right there because I think you just touched on something very interesting. I mean, as I shared with you earlier, we have different fellowships in here week in and week out. And that obsession with self is universal from alcoholics to drug addicts, sex addicts, clutterers. That obsession with self is the one thing that I think binds everybody together in the recovery community. And I think that was very key that you touched on that. So you were really trapped in your own skin. You were very much,
yes.
You know, driven
yes.
to master this thing.
Yes, very much. You know, I remember I'm a pianist, and I remember giving a piano recital. And rather than, you know, really being into the music, I remember thinking, because I had just gained, I don't know, 5 or 10 pounds. And I remember thinking, gee, I wonder if I look fat from the, you know, I wonder if the audience is looking at me and thinking I look fat. And so there I am playing, you know, the piano in public. And I'm thinking, do I look fat rather than being into what I'm doing? So there was always this, you know, just very self-conscious, self-centered kind of thinking that kept me very trapped.
Wow.
And I am quite free of it today.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Talk to me about... You set up in a graduate school. You were starting to get a sense that you didn't have a normal relationship with food. And how much further did you have? Where did this culminate? And what was the thing that got you to want to take some action? Can you give us a little bit of the last month before you came into FA?
I remember it quite well. I remember the last 6 weeks, starting with Thanksgiving till January. I had started eating, you know, overeating at Thanksgiving, and then started baking things for people for Christmas presents and going to parties and whatever. But it was like day after day of overeating, like quite a lot of sweets. Every batch of whatever I made for a gift for somebody, I would eat half of it. And that just kept going. And then Christmas came and went, and I kept eating as if it was still Christmas. And I just really couldn't stop. And I felt myself getting fatter and fatter. And I was not comfortable being fat. I hadn't been fat. I wasn't used to being fat, as you know, because I had the binging and the starving thing going on. So, but at this point, the starving thing never came back. I kept hoping it would come back, but it never kicked in anymore. I was just eating and just feeling, and all my clothes were uncomfortable. They didn't look good on me. I started, not going to parties because I couldn't fit any to clothes that I could wear. I just felt really lost. I felt really trapped. And just watching myself, really, I felt like I was chained to the cookie jar, like I couldn't get away from eating it. And finding stale cookies that I had baked for somebody and then forgot to give them to them. So, you know, they were 6 weeks old and,
right.
And eating them, they didn't taste good. And yet I couldn't stop eating them.
But can you, I mean, that's a really, really vivid picture. I mean, so your clothes, they
didn't fit anymore.
And it just killed you.
Yeah. I mean, they were very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's really, I mean, but you're talking about kind of being really like super sensitive to, you know, everything, you know, everything you're putting in, everything you're getting rid of. I mean, like, it's just, it seems really, really hard.
It was really hard. I was really desperate when I came in because I just couldn't stop. It had progressed to the point where I just couldn't stop eating and I couldn't see any solution. I knew I didn't need Weight Watchers, you know.
Yeah.
That
were you ever heavy? Because, I mean, you're not heavy now.
The heaviest I got that I know of was 136 pounds, and I weigh between 100 and 102, and I've been about that weight for about almost eight years now.
Wow.
And I don't crave food anymore. I don't battle with my weight. I don't really even have to think about it, because if I eat according to the food plan that I'm given, that's another very big difference in our program. We have a prescribed food plan so that, because we have to eat, it's not like alcohol,
right,
where we can stop drinking.
You gotta eat.
There really is a clear line of what we consider abstinent eating. We don't eat flour and sugar because they are, for me, they're like drugs, and I've experienced it enough that I know that I react to them like I would react to a drug.
So it kicks
and
off.
And as long as I'm not eating them, it doesn't kick off the craving. So I don't crave food. That's the thing that people don't understand. They think I have such a strong will. The thing is, I'm not craving food.
Let me throw this out to you. And I mean, this is a little bit bigger than FA and AA, but do you think there's some sort of common bond in the makeup of the alcoholic and the food addict or the overeater because of that linking to the sugar and the carbohydrates? I mean, when the alcoholics came in here, the one thing that they would always talk about is, like, in the meetings, they always have cookies and they always have candies and they always have sweets. And that's how they got over drinking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought there was some sort of kinship between those two fellowships. And do you think there's some truth in that?
I certainly do. You know, I think that for food addicts, that we might be a little bit more sensitive than alcoholics, because food works in us like alcohol works in an alcoholic.
Mm.
And if I were to go back to it now, food wouldn't work. I would need alcohol or something stronger at this point to get the same effect. But it is a proven fact that sugar does turn to alcohol. But I think in a food addict, it happens much quicker. And so it is almost like having alcohol rather than having sugar. In a normal, so-called normal person, it's a little bit slower.
Right.
And so they don't have that same effect that it has on somebody who is addicted. That's just the physical part. But there's certain personality traits that go along with an addict, which I think we also all share in common.
Like that obsession with self.
Insecurity, fear, lots of fears, and just self-doubt and doubt of just the world around us. And, whether it's real, some people have had bad experiences, but many people haven't had bad experiences and they still have this fear and insecurity that plagues them, that is very uncomfortable and needs something to calm it down, and drugs or food work.
How long is it for you now? I mean, how long ago did you come into FA?
Yeah, it will be 8 years in a couple of
years,
weeks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And what do you want to say? I mean, we have about a minute left to the food addict out there who's struggling.
Just that if people could know that there is a solution that actually works, that it turns out to be fun. I've met some of the best people I've ever met within FA. I've learned how to be a friend in FA. I've learned how to eat in FA. I've learned how to accept myself and to give service to other people and to be part of the world at large. And mostly, I'm so glad to be free of the obsession with my body and with what I'm eating. And I'm just free to live. I have really a life second to none. I have a life that I never dreamed I could have. Just the amount of inner freedom that I've been given because I was willing to just show up and take the suggestions that were given.
That's fantastic.
For my food addiction.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you so much for sharing with us. You're listening to America's 12-Step Radio Show. My name is Drew, and this is Steppin' Out.